know absolutely everything there is to know about God, almost as if we carry him around in a box. For if we have a God in a box, he's probably a creature of our own needs, our own desires, our own assumptions. I found myself wondering the infinity and the intimacy of God, as I read our Old Testament passages this morning, but it's Trinity Sunday. For Israel knew those sorts of polarities of divine experience. Often God was deeply, deeply intimate with Israel. He was their God and theirs alone. The Lord, Yahweh, literally a tribal God who belonged to Jacob and Jacob belonged to him. And this God would fight for them, fight with them, fight through them, because the other nations had their gods. They got Moloch, Chemosh and all the others, and those were false gods, wicked idols who needed defeating. And Israel, loved by God, guided by his commandments, revealed exclusively to them, empowered by his unique presence with them, would be the ones to win that victory. Except that sometimes life proved a bit more challenging than that narrative of intimacy seemed to predict. As a nation, Israel ended up in Babylon, dominated by the followers of Baal and Nebo and other false idols. But in that wilderness time, they sensed that Yahweh might be bigger than they sometimes imagined. And his purposes were not just for them, but to bring salvation to all the world. And sometimes individuals found the infinite pressing in on their intimate faith as well. Like Job. Have you ever read the book of Job? It's very long, but very worthwhile. Job is a good man, close to God, intimate with him. Job is one who knows that he's done what God wanted. He's followed God's commands. He expects a reward. But God's will allows him to be stripped of his possessions, his loved ones, his health. And Job complains in chapter after chapter, it's not fair, I don't deserve this. I've been intimate with you, Lord, I've kept close to you. Where are you, my intimate God? Why have you abandoned me? But eventually the Lord comes to Job in the form of a whirlwind. He doesn't answer Job's questions, he shows in his mystery and his majesty how much infinitely bigger he and his purposes are than one small human life. And Job enters a reverent, wondering, humble silence, overwhelmed at the scale and splendor of his infinite gift. In Proverbs and Psalms in the Old Testament this morning, the infinite and the intimate meet. The psalmist is amazed at the scope and wonder of God's creation. And yet within that, little man is not forgotten or abandoned, but accorded the most wonderful intimacy by God. The Lord has sought him to be his servant. And in Proverbs we find the eternal God becoming intimate with his creation, through the work of divine wisdom, divine wisdom. Now this is a bit complicated, but I will do my limited best to try and explain. God in this vision is separate from his creation. Not to be confused or merged into what he's made. God is separate. But he sends forth his wisdom. He launches his creative work, his self-expression, which mediates his creative power. And the wisdom that he pours out crafts creation like a master worker. And it becomes an exercise of intimacy and delight. But the joy of God and his wisdom encounter in the created world and in humankind. Well, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. You might recall those words of St. Paul to the Corinthians. For Jesus was soon identified by the Christians as that creative wisdom of the Lord. Father's self-expression, his word, the one who makes the infinite intimate and comes into the world and recreates it. And that's the combination of infinity and intimacy that the Trinity invites us into. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is God in mystery and majesty, whose awesomeness should lead us to reverent silence. For this God lies beyond the edge of what human language can properly express. God is truly three, yet equally one. Three persons so utterly united that they are one invisible God. One unitary God who is also three distinguishable persons. I don't understand such a God, but I long to be drawn towards such a unity. I long to enter more deeply into relationship with such an eternal circle and cycle of unending love. We worship an infinite God. Yet one who has poured out his wisdom to become intimate with us in Jesus, to set us right with the Father, to give us peace deep in our lives. And the God whom we know through the intimate Spirit, who proceeds from the Father and the Son into the very temples that each of our bodies can become. The Spirit who leads me and you, my friends, into the truth of who God is and what He wants. The Spirit who sanctifies us, who makes us holy in that truth. Daily, I invoke the Trinity in my prayer and I give you the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Frequently, it's my privilege and responsibility to bless God's people in that powerful, wonderful, threefold name. And I try to make those moments not just things that I do by right, but acts of awesomeness that connect me to you and to your heart. And also moments like closeness, where God comes to me in total interest. As we worship today, God, to His Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, on this feast day, perhaps intimacy is what comes naturally and normally to you. Praise God. Rejoice, if so. Demand that God's closeness has made you the home of His truth and His love. The faith reflects God's infinity. Find a moment to enter that silent reverence as you contemplate the awesome majesty, the oracle, the oracle. And if perhaps mystery and wonder are your default positions, if you gaze upon the inscrutable, unsearchable vastness of God, then let Him come first. The depths of the riches of His wisdom and knowledge are beyond trace of man. But they're offered here today in simple things. They come deeply into our lives in a scratch of broken bones.